Welcome to episode 58 of the Unfolding Words podcast. I'm your host, Antracia Moorings, and every week I come to share biblical truth that offers light for your walk and life for your soul. I am so pumped about this week's episode. Actually, I'm just pumped about this week overall. First, we have a great guest who I'll introduce in just a moment. But secondly, and maybe most importantly, it's my birthday week. So if you feel so inclined and you want to encourage a sister, you can reach out to me on social media on July 11th, which is my actual birthday, and say hi. I would love to know who's listening, if the show is encouraging you, if you have any comments or suggestions or feedback, anything you want to hear about on the show, any topics or anything like that. You can email me at antracia@unfoldingwords.com or reach out to me on Facebook and Instagram at Unfolding Words and on Twitter at @unfolding_words. I will be so glad to hear from you. Also, another great birthday gift would be if you could leave a review. A lot of people decide if they're going to listen to a show by the reviews. So if you want to leave a review, that would be so greatly appreciated. That would be a wonderful birthday gift this week. So today I have on the show a great friend of mine, Kim Cash Tate. She's the author of several books, including Cling, Choosing a Lifestyle of Intimacy with God, and the Promises of God series. Kim is also the creator, writer, and the executive producer of Cling the Series, an original drama series airing on the web. She's also a singer and a songwriter. Check out the soundtrack for Cling. You will be blessed. And Kim is not just a gifted Bible teacher. She shares gems on her YouTube channel, but she's my friend. The kind who sharpens and inspires you. So I hope that you will be sharpened and inspired by my conversation with Kim. We chat about Bible study, God putting desires in your heart, and the act of surrender. Here's my chat with Kim Cash Tate. Kim, thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast.
Thank you, Antracia. It is a blessing to be here. I am just so excited.
Yes. One thing I love about the internet is how it has brought people into my life that I would never probably have crossed paths with in any other way. And you are one of those people. We met on Twitter, I don't even know, maybe a decade ago.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I think it has been close to a decade. That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I just loved how our relationship progressed over social media, text messages, and we finally got to meet last year.
Yes.
For the first time, which was like crazy. Like, I didn't know.
But, you know, you're on the West Coast and I'm in the Midwest, but oh my goodness, that was so good to finally meet you last year.
Yeah. So praise the Lord for Twitter and the internet for crossing our paths.
Yes.
So today I want to talk about basically the word, because the podcast focuses on unfolding the word and all of the beauty and the benefits that come from that. And I feel like your life is just a great case study on that. And so I want to talk about a little bit of that today. But first, let's talk about your relationship with the word. How were you introduced to the word, and how did your relationship with the word blossom from that introduction?
Wow, that's a good question. I was first introduced to the word, I would say, through Catholic school. I was not raised in church, and I grew up in the DC area, and I went to St. Margaret's Elementary School, and we would read Bible stories and things like that. I wasn't actually in the word per se, but from the Bible stories that were shared in class and so forth, I knew about Jesus and actually was enamored with Jesus and just never doubted that he was God, never doubted that he died on the cross and rose again, but I didn't know that I could have a personal relationship with him. So my relationship with the word began at that literally elementary school level. And, but then as I got older, didn't have any relationship with the word of God at all. And it wasn't until I was 27 that I was saved. And so at that point, that would have been the first time I actually picked up a Bible to read it for myself. So from that point, and just reading the Bible and trying to understand it and going to Bible study at church, I would say it blossomed after that, just from me wanting to grow in my understanding. But it's been a long road.
So when you first picked up the Bible, was mm-hmm. it an instant love affair? Because I think some people feel that, you know, she's a Bible teacher, she's always loved the word, she's always understood the word. And sometimes that's not always the case. You don't always have an instant love affair mm-hmm. with the word of God. So what did that look like for you?
It was, I wouldn't say it was an instant love affair. I was trying to understand what it was about, you know, just trying to understand, okay, there's the Old Testament, New Testament, and what, what is this book about and what is that about? Just trying to figure it out, I think, with my brain, just trying to put it together, because I felt that I was so late in the game, not having, you know, I was around people who had grown up in church, and so many people knew the word way better than I did. And so I just felt like I was trying to catch up. And so I think at first it was more just trying to understand what is the Bible all about? Mm-hmm. And so I started going to this women's Bible study every week. It was a pretty small group. I was in Madison, Wisconsin at the time. Our church was pretty small. And the leader loved the word of God. And so she used to be excited about the word. And she was the first person I had learned under. And I think from her, I gained an excitement about the word and wanted to know more about it.
So what practical tips or what did she model for you that helped you to get that excitement from her?
I think she modeled just a reverence for the word, and she would approach it like, this is, you know, this is something that we get to do. We get to be in the word, and just her love of God. And then she also made it practical, and we would talk about it and how we could apply it to our lives, which was very new to me. I didn't know that you could read the Bible and then actually apply it, mm-hmm. that it could be relevant to your life. So those were the initial lessons that I got from that weekly study.
Yeah. And I think a lot of women may feel like that, like, okay, I have this word in front of me, I'm reading mm-hmm. it, but there's this divide between, okay, I'm understanding it, but then how does it apply to my life?
Right.
So how did you bridge that gap? Because I think it's a challenge, whether you've grown up in church or you haven't grown up in church, to realize mm-hmm. that I can apply this word to my life. It's not just to get knowledge from.
Mm-hmm. I think it took me a while, because I went to that weekly study for a couple of years. And we would sort of talk about things that were going on in our lives. But I think it took some time for me to, probably a few years later when I really began to study on my own. Because those first few years, I would say I was more so reading the Bible. And then I got to a point where I learned to inductively study the Bible. And that's when I would really just sit down and just spend maybe an hour just prayerfully studying and going very slowly through a book of the Bible. And that's when I began to really, as I prayed and studied, that's when I began to just really hear from the Lord. You know how you just get stopped at a certain verse mm-hmm. and like, wait, that directly applies to what I'm going yeah. through right now. Like, really? How did that happen? You know, so having those very real moments where you know you're going through something and you just read something that applies mm-hmm. and it just stops everything, and you start having those moments and you say, wait a minute, this is alive and active. Yeah. It actually it actually applies in a very real way. And then I think that's when I really began to grow in that mm-hmm. way.
Now, you mentioned inductive Bible study. Talk a little bit about that, because maybe not everyone knows exactly what inductive study is and what mm-hmm. it looks like. So just touch on that a little bit.
Inductive study is when you approach the study of the word. You don't have commentaries, or it's not a study Bible where you're being led through someone else's take on what the Bible has to say, but you're just reading, looking for things like keywords to understand what this particular chapter's emphasis is. And so, for example, First Peter, a keyword is suffering. So you might mark that word suffering and synonyms like that. And then you begin to look at, you might create lists. You're looking at, okay, what does it say about suffering and how does that apply to the Christian life? And you can make lists and you can make comparisons, but you're really just trying to unlock the meaning of the text as is, by slowly going through it and gleaning from what's there. And I started doing that about 19 years ago now, just because of wanting to know the truth for myself, hearing different versions from different denominations and different interpretations. And I just said, okay, I just want to understand the word for myself. And so I began doing that almost 20 years mm-hmm. ago.
I think that's really like the most exciting part of Bible study. I think a lot of people love practical application, but I think it's that mm-hmm. digging in and asking questions of the text and what does this mean?
Yes.
And where is this happening? I find like that is the most yes. exciting part of Bible study.
Yes.
And often gets overlooked because you had to roll your sleeves up and mm-hmm. do that kind of work. Mm-hmm.
Looking at maps.
Right, right.
where did this take place? Wait, so how far was that?
Yeah.
So, wow. Uh-huh. So when he went to Tarshish, Jonah was really, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so yeah. Yeah, but it makes it so much fun, mm-hmm. you know, because you are digging in and you're discovering. And you actually know that the Holy Spirit is helping you. You know, you're not... I think people get afraid of Bible study and say, I can never understand this. But the Holy Spirit actually is our teacher.
Yeah.
And so the more you study, the more it unlocks from book to book, it begins to make more and more sense and you gain in your understanding. And it's like an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it really is.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love looking at the maps and the plate and understanding where things took place and when this was and how far was how long was this before Jesus returned, you know, before Jesus was not returned, but before he came to earth and so things like that. So,
yeah,
I love it.
Now, speaking of adventure, you have personally been on quite the adventure because you started out as a lawyer.
Yes.
And then you made that transition to a homeschooling mom, which is definitely not for the faint of heart. Because I know from personal mm-hmm. experience,
yes,
like,
yes,
life in the office is way easier than this homeschool stuff.
Exactly. You can close your door and take a nap if you want
to. Oh my God. So you made that leap to homeschooling mom to YouTube Bible teacher. And then we'll talk mm-hmm. about the journey, that the adventure that you're on now. But talk about that, how the Lord took you from lawyer to homeschool mom to YouTube Bible teacher.
Wow. So I was practicing law when I was saved at 27. And I had my first child at 30, and then I had my daughter, my second child at 32. So when they were young, especially when I had my first child, I started having these thoughts about, I don't know if this career is compatible with raising these two young children. And because I was a litigating attorney, so evenings, weekends, it didn't matter. If you had a case that was headed to court or whatever was going on the case, it didn't. I even had gone part-time and it didn't matter. It was still very much full-time. And so I just was feeling that nudge from the Lord to leave it behind. And I had never thought about being a stay-at-home mom. I was always raised to have your career, make your own money. Mm-hmm. And so I was really praying about that. And my husband and I had just bought a house where both of our salaries were needed. And so, but it was just really one of those steps of faith. And by the time I left, I really wanted to leave. It's funny how God does that. At first, you're like, what? What? I can't. And then it's like, yeah, I'm ready to go. So,
let me go, Lord. Let me go.
Let me go. No, get me out of here, right. Lord. So I left and was at home. And it was really during that season, because I had more time and I was at home with the toddlers, that I had more time to study the word. So that's when I would be at my kitchen table while they were taking a nap and learning inductive study and spending 1 to 2 hours in the word. And so I was doing that every day. And just that is when I would say I really developed a love for the word. I could not wait to study when they would take a nap. And I would just spend as much time as I could. And so over the years of doing that, first the Lord led me to write fiction and teach the word through fiction, which I never thought I would do. That's a whole nother story. But I never thought I would write fiction. And I never thought that would be a way to actually teach the word of God. But my first novel had a study of Ephesians in it. And so I did that. And so it was a few years later while I was homeschooling, because then he led me to homeschooling, which I also thought I would never do, that that he moved me to do YouTube videos, which, you know, it's so funny how God does things. And you're like, what? I didn't know how to do anything. I didn't know. I didn't have a channel. I didn't know how to record and lighting and how to edit videos. I didn't know any of that. But I knew that's what he was moving me to do. And I didn't know where it would go. But looking back, it's been about 6 years now. And so I'm doing Bible studies on my YouTube channel and have been doing that as well as other biblical teachings on the channel. So it's just amazing how God opens up things that you never imagined. Yeah.
And I feel like homeschool, it really is. I feel like if you homeschool, you could do anything the Lord asks you to.
Right. Like, that's true. It is. It's like a faith training step.
Yeah.
It really is, because you know that you can't do it. You need to rely on God. And it's like, wait a minute, if I can rely on God for this, then why? It's funny when people say, I could never homeschool because I don't have the patience, or I don't have this, I don't have that. And like, you're missing the entire point.
Right. Like, I didn't either.
This is where you're going to learn all of those things.
And then from there, everything else is a piece of cake. You're like, oh, do a YouTube Bible study. Okay. You know.
Oh, you're right.
Get on the stage in front of thousands. Okay. I can do that.
Right. If I homeschool, then I can definitely trust God for that. You got like entire lives in your hands when you're homeschooling. Yeah. So if you can do that.
Yeah, you can conquer the world, really.
It's the truth.
So teaching the Bible, when you were first learning the Bible, was teaching ever something that was in your thoughts? Like, one day I want to teach. I want to be on the other side. Was that ever in your thoughts or in your heart?
Not at all in those early years. When I started doing inductive study and just falling in love with the word, and it was just so good. From that point, I think God just started putting people in my path to show me that he was calling me to teach. So I would just have just random people I would meet or somebody at church, something would happen that would cause us to begin to talk about the word of God. And I might end up explaining something, and then they would tell me how helpful it was. And I was like, really? So, you know, just like things like that. And then the church I went to in Dallas, I would go to this class, the women's Bible study there. And just from the discussions in class and participating in that, the leader of that class asked me if I would consider teaching this or that. So I think God just began to show me that he had given me the gift to teach. And so But it wasn't, it wasn't me thinking I would love to do that mm-hmm. one day.
Yeah. So yeah. You mentioned writing fiction and then mm-hmm. Bible studies. So we kind of skipped over that part actually, because I went straight from lawyer to YouTube, but you did have, and do have quite a fruitful ministry writing fiction and Bible studies. Let's talk a little bit about how that unfolded.
Well, it was interesting when I left my, when I left my job, I had one book that had been published, which was a memoir. And so I thought I would always write nonfiction. I thought that's what God was calling me to do, was write nonfiction. But when I left my job and I was home with two toddlers, I had no time to write. So that's when I was really questioning, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I thought you wanted me to write. But so, you know, in hindsight, I know that it was a season to study and go deeper in the word. And from there, I would say maybe at least 3 years passed or more, maybe three or four. And the Lord just put a story in my head. And I just said, what? Fiction? Like, because I had an agent and she had asked me if I would consider writing fiction. I was like, no, that's not my thing. and so when he put that story in my head, I said, it just blew me away. And this was around 2004. And so it was before, you know, you could find anything and everything on Google, and before there were all the writing blogs and all of those things. It was just me and the Lord. I didn't have a writing group. I didn't have writing anything. It was just me praying for the Lord to help me to write this book that he had put on my heart to write. And that's when it blew me away that I could incorporate the characters, having this Bible study and all these things. And it was just an amazing journey, just the writing of it. And then it got published. And so I just was pleasantly surprised that the Lord could take what was now a desire to teach the word and put it through fiction and have it be entertaining and hear from people who wouldn't necessarily pick up a Bible to study it for themselves, but would read a novel, and then the novel would drive them to the Bible. So that was a blessing.
Fiction definitely does that. So that first book was Heavenly Places, right? And so I don't know how many novels later, you know, how many novels later is it? Nine, I don't know.
Now, 10, yeah, it's about 10 now.
So the Lord has you still writing fiction. And I really want you to slow down because I'm going back and reading in order. And you're talking about I'm working on the next book. And I'm like, Kim, I need you to slow down till I can catch up. I just have to read faster. but he has you writing fiction, but he's also, I feel like what he's done is like, he's like, okay, you done homeschooled these kids all these years. So let me give you a little treat and take you on this little mommy adventure. And I feel like you have a mommy adventure going on now. So let's talk about your mommy adventure.
Oh my goodness.
You're no longer a homeschool mom because your kids are in college now.
Yes.
But you're now a web series creator, a singer, and a songwriter. Like, what?
Isn't that crazy? Like, who are you talking about? Oh, my God. Like, just 2 years ago, if you had said that, I would have said you were crazy. Right.
Yeah. So how did that?
Yeah.
I mean, what? Like, how did, where did this come from?
And Tracy, oh my gosh. I mean, it's so funny how God works. It was about 2 years ago this time that I was on this path. Like you said, my youngest had just graduated 2 years ago from homeschool. And so I was at that point just so elated that I could finally focus full time on writing novels, because all these years I had been homeschooling and writing in the morning or whenever I could get time. But I said, now I can finally write full time. So that's the mindset I was in. And I don't know what I was looking at, something online. And this idea just downloaded to create a web series. And it was so strong that I Googled web series because I didn't know what it was. And I just said, web series? Lord, what are you talking about? So I Googled web series, and then I saw, okay, people are doing scripted series for the web. Huh. And so I even went to like the American Black Film Festival that summer because it was just so heavy on my mind. And I prayed about it, did a video about it, to just chronicle the journey. And some months and months passed and I did not hear anything else about it. And I thought, well, maybe I was just crazy. I mean, I thought it was crazy anyway. So yeah, that was crazy. I just kept writing my novels. And then I was planning for this CLEAN conference that I was having where we met. And the conference was in June. In April of that year, as I'm planning for the conference, again, it was like the first or next big thing that I felt that God was speaking to my heart about this web series. And it was to film it at the CLEAN conference. And from that moment, because I knew at that moment that God was saying I would be in it. And so all this time I had thought I would create a web series if that ever happened, that other people would be in it. But I would just write it and, you know, be behind the scenes. But I did not at all plan or think I would be in it. So that blew me away. So it just began this long faith journey of, I say a long faith journey, but the conference was 2 months away. So it wasn't that long. I had to write it, get my mind around the fact that I was going to act in it and get actors. And he got a director. He got everything on board. Within 2 months, we were filming at the conference. And it was actually so awe-inspiring to see God do that, because I knew it was all him. He did everything. He just lined it all up. And then we ended up filming more after the conference, and then the working on the soundtrack. Once again, I thought I would just be behind the scenes and just watching the producer work on the soundtrack and maybe get to listen to some of the music as it came together. It ended up being my debut album. I don't know. What is happening? I don't know. I think the Lord just said, I just want to blow your mind. Mm-hmm. But no, it just really, and I always loved music. You know, I was the teenager who was always singing in the bedroom behind closed doors, never wanted anybody to hear me sing, but I always loved singing, and a little bit of singing in the choir, but that just was not a dream that I ever thought to pursue. And the Lord just said, here you go. Here's a producer who, you know, he was co-starring in the series. Here's a producer. I got you everything you need. And you're going to actually write songs about clinging to me. So I don't know. To this day, I'm blown away. But he just took that one word, cling, which is a word I studied from those early days when I had toddlers, when I was studying Deuteronomy, and that word cling jumped out at me. It has just become this whole cling thing where it's, you know, a book and a Bible study. I do cling Bible studies in the conference, and then now this cling series and cling soundtrack. So, and from, I think to me, it's just the Lord really wanting to reveal his heart that he wants to have an intimate relationship with us, and that it's he actually does want to walk closely with us. It's not just about church on Sunday. It's not just about when we're in dire need of him, but just everyday close walk. And so to be able to do a series to reflect that and write music that reflects that, it's just blown me away. So I'm just thankful to God.
So for I know people may be listening and saying, okay, that's great for Kim Cash Tate, but you know, I don't know how to make that happen in my life, or I don't know how to cling so that God's dreams become my dreams. You know, like, so talk us through that. Like, what encouragement can you give a woman who's listening and saying, well, I don't see any dreams happening in my life, or, you know, maybe discouraged because they don't know how to walk through the word and get that practical aspect of it.
I think first you have to live a life of surrender to God and allow him to make your plans, allow him to give you your dreams. So often we come to him with our hopes and dreams and we want him to bless it. But we should, what is it? Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. We want that to be, make the desires of our heart come true, Lord. but it's really delighting ourselves in him. And then he will input into our hearts his desires for us. And so being willing to have him do that and to say, whatever dreams I have, Lord, whatever hopes I have, whatever plans I have, take them all away from me if they're not of you, and you establish what you would have me to do. Because we know Ephesians 2:10 says he has established the good works that he would have us to do before the foundation of the world. So for each one of us in Christ, he has those works already prepared. He doesn't want to hide them from us. He actually wants us to walk in them. So it's just a matter of finding out what those are and looking to him and asking him, what are those good works, Lord? What would you have me to walk in? And then he will reveal those to you. Now, you may have to wait, because how old am I and how old are my kids? It's so funny when people look at my life and say, well, you're doing this and that. Yeah, about 20 years has passed. so don't get confused. There was some waiting involved. Lots of years have passed. So you may have to wait. We're in this, you know, time where we think everything, we can do it all right now, have it all right now. There's such a thing as seasons and waiting. And it's in those seasons where clinging to God is most important. It's always important, but clinging to him in those seasons and knowing that he is the main thing. It's not the dream you're trying to get to. It's not the plan that you want him to establish. He is the main thing. That relationship is the main thing. And so when you lean into that relationship and make him your main thing, and grow in your knowledge of the word and grow in your love for the Lord, you don't have to worry about him establishing the good works he has prepared for you. He wants to establish those things. You know, that you're doing a podcast. You didn't think you'd be doing a podcast a few years ago when we were on Periscope. In Periscope days, you did not think you'd be doing a podcast. So the Lord just does these. He establishes these where he knew you'd be doing that. And he established it through you. And so that he delights to do that. But we have to make him the main thing.
So were there times, though, when you struggled with the surrender? Because, you know, sometimes we can hold on to our dreams and our desires with the ironclad, you know, grip. So was it hard for you, that surrender process, to say, okay, Lord, maybe my life is not going to end up, you know, where I wanted it to be? Because I know you went to school to be a lawyer. You don't do that overnight, you know, and it's not cheap. So you invested a lot in your dream. So you had to let go of that. Was that process hard for you?
It was hard in the beginning. I think when I left my job, and because I had made partner at my firm, I was making six figures. So it was just hard to realize. So if I want something, I have to go to my husband. And like, this is not comfortable. Like, if I want to go shopping, I should just be able to go shopping. Like, I should have my own money, my own. I'm not used to this. And so it was hard in the beginning to put that aside. And even the identity, when people ask, what do you do? You know, I had a time there where I would say I'm an attorney, but I'm not practicing right now. The Lord said, cut that out. No, ma'am. No, you get real comfortable saying you're a stay-at-home mom. Oh my God. So it was hard to surrender all those things, the identity that, and the things that the world thinks is a big deal, and, you know, the money and those, it was hard to surrender that. But just, you know, I think, again, back to the word, just growing in the word and understanding mm-hmm. our identity in Christ and the things that God values and what does he consider important. And the more I grew in just day to day being in the word, the more my mind was renewed to who I was in Christ and to having a perspective of glorifying him in whatever he called me to do. And then I had to get to a point where I wasn't sure if I was going to ever write another book. And I'm just, you know, I'm at home, I'm homeschooling. I didn't want to homeschool at first, but I'm homeschooling. And so I had to get to a point where I said, Lord, if I never write another book, if I never do any of that, if this is what I do at home forever, then mm-hmm. let me be fine with that. And I remember getting to that point and just saying, I just want your will to be done, Lord, your will be done. And that's the posture that we have to get to. But no, it's not easy to get to. But when we're able to just surrender all of that and just say, Lord, your will be done. You know, I just want to please you. That's that place.
I love that everything that you do circles right back to the word, whether you're a singer, a songwriter, a web series creator, a fiction writer, a Bible study writer, a YouTube creator, it's all going back to, you know, this is to glorify God, not for your own glory. And that this is the work, the good work that the Lord mm-hmm. has called you to. I love that it all just circles right back to that foundation. Mm-hmm. Give a little, talk to the woman who wants to trust in the word, wants to get into Bible study, but she opens that Bible study. I mean, she opens that Bible and it's just like, okay, what do I do now? So offer a little mm-hmm. bit of, like, you know, mm-hmm. a little guidance for someone who may be listening and is like, I don't even know where to start.
Mm-hmm. I always say to start with either the Gospel of John or Psalms, or maybe both. I always love starting with John because you see Jesus just as Savior and eternal God like no other gospel. And you can just walk with Jesus through the Gospel of John and always approach the study of the Bible prayerfully. Always pray for understanding and you don't have to open your Bible thinking I need to understand mm-hmm. everything that I read. It could be because you're not going to. I don't understand everything I read. Nobody right. understands everything they read. We will only know in part. So you take that pressure off of yourself that I've got to get this up, or, you know, don't be discouraged when you don't get something, but just walk with Jesus. And say, so if you open a book like John and you're going through it and just look, just because it's a narrative, it's easier to understand what's happening with who is he meeting, what's going on, what's being said, and allow the Holy Spirit to open up your understanding. And then the things you don't understand, just keep reading and just pray about, pray to the Lord. Lord, what does this mean? Like, I just talk to God while I'm reading the Bible. Just that is a way that you can cling to God as you're reading the Bible. Just talk to him. It's right. his word. Yeah. You know, it's his word. And so you can just be like, Lord, I don't know what this is about right here. Like, can you help me understand what does this mean? And, you know, just as you're reading and you will be surprised at what you're able to walk away with. It's interesting. Today, even I'm currently studying the book of Isaiah. And so I did an Instagram post about something I was reading in Isaiah, and somebody commented that it was hard for her she was also in Isaiah right now. And she said, I just can't understand the prophecies. I'm praying for clarity. And I said, I'm praying as well. And I don't understand all the prophecies in Isaiah. So what happens if you're reading a book like Isaiah and you're just totally lost and you're saying, well, when is this going to happen? Has it already happened? How future is this? What is this? You may not get that clarity at all, but what will you get? You will get the fact that God is sovereign. You will get the fact that God is declaring what is to come and that he is in full control of every nation on this earth. You will walk away knowing that you don't need to worry about your day-to-day life because God has it all under control. You know, so these things, you're always going to be blessed as you read the word, even if you don't understand everything you're reading. The Lord will give you something as you're reading that will give you peace, that will give you joy, that will help you not to be anxious about your own life because you know that he's in control. You'll understand God's character. You'll see his compassion. You'll see all these things that are immediately applicable to your life. So there will always be a blessing from being in the word. And pray as to where you should start in the Bible. You know, all these things are opportunities to talk to the Lord. It always comes back to your relationship with him. This is his word. He's going to lead you. He wants you to understand his word. These are prayers that he will answer because it's his will for you to understand.
Now let's end with some of your favorite resources, because I know people are probably wondering, what does Kim Cash Tate have, you know, on her shelf that she reaches for that's a favorite? So share a few of your favorite Bible study resources. Mm-hmm. I should have told you I was going to ask you this question. You could have been prepared, huh?
Well, I'm in my office, and the books I probably pull off the shelf most are, I have this interlinear Greek and English New Testament, and a word study dictionary. So I often, when I'm in the New Testament, I want to look up words and see what the original word is in the Greek so that I can then look in my word study dictionary to get the actual meaning of that word, especially if it's a word that has been translated into English, but it doesn't quite capture what the original word was. And so these two books I probably pick up more than anything when I'm in the New Testament, so I can understand what the words mean. I also like to keep Bible Gateway open on my computer because I want to look at different translations and different. So I want to see what I study from the NASB. So I'll often look and say, I wonder what the ESV says. I wonder what, you know, this translation says. I keep that open. I keep a lot of windows open on my laptop nearby while I'm studying so I can look up. So even in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, today, actually, when I was in Isaiah, I had a question about a word I was focused on. And so I looked it up in the Hebrew to see what the word was. And it actually had to do with my post. And it was so interesting because it was saying that the Lord longs to be compassionate toward us, or longs to be gracious to us. And longs, I looked up that word longs in the Hebrew, and it meant wait, to he waits to be compassionate. I'm like, what? So that just like sent me off into a whole worship thing. So it's like things like that, that for me, I don't know, I just love words. So for me, the resources I keep close have to do with wanting to know what the original words mean.
Very helpful. Well, Kim, it's been a treat. We could go on and on, but we're going to stop right here.
Because
you said a lot. You gave a lot of great encouragement. So I want to give the listeners just time to marinate on what you shared. And I just so appreciate your heart for the word. And just, you know, the friendship that we have has been really an encouragement to me as far as just walking out, you know, where I am in the
me
Lord.
Me too.
And just thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you as well. It definitely has been a blessing for me to see your heart for the Lord and for his word. So praise God. That. So thankful that you're doing this podcast as well.
I pray that you were encouraged and edified by my conversation with Kim. You can find Kim on social media at Kim Cash Tate, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. I'll leave a link in the show notes on where you can find her on social media and the web. And again, if you have questions, comments, or suggestions, you can email me at antracia@unfoldingwords.com. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. I hope you're having a great summer. Join me back next week where I'll be sharing more from God's Word. Until then, may God's Word be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. God bless you.